Hello, you've heard about Microsoft moving to a Windows as a service model with more frequent releases every year and wondered, well, how does that work and how do I make my app development fit in this new model? My name is Rama Shastri. I'm a program manager in the Windows Compat team, and I'm going to walk you through how to make this process a little simpler and then extend support for your apps perennially as you move to the Windows as a service model. Here's what I plan to cover today. I want to do a quick refresher on what is Windows as a service. I'm pretty sure you've seen a lot of material on this, but it always is a good thing to go through a refresher. Then I'll talk about how does supporting apps in Windows as a service work. Then I want to talk about our commitment as Microsoft to maintain the underlying compatibility of the OS. I will also share guidelines and practices, best practices, for app developers like you to work in this new model. And then lastly, I will talk about how to use flighting, which is the preferred method we recommend in replacement for the testing that you currently do of apps in the ecosystem. So in the pre-Windows days, the servicing model used to work with individual KBs that are released by Microsoft. These KBs were not cumulative in nature, but they would come in every month, a lot of KBs. Some are categorized as security, some are non-security servicing, and they land on your machines, and then you wonder how the machine has changed. What this causes, especially for enterprise customers, is complexity of deployment and then keeping track of which machine has which KB, which is the auditing and the compliance aspect of it. It also causes a broad ecosystem impact because you've now got a fragmented machine base where one machine has a certain set of KBs and the other machines have a different set of KBs. Obviously, these system differences are painful to you as an app developer because your app could work on one system but not on another, which obviously impacts quality. Okay. So what are we doing about this, starting with Windows 10? One of the key things about Windows 10 is to be able to reduce the complexity, cost, and the time it takes for enterprise customers to upgrade and get access to new features. Okay. The other aspect of it is to help our partners like you reduce the complexity of maintaining an app ecosystem. Okay. But how do we maintain quality with all of this complexity in play? Okay. What we have put in place is this Windows as a service model. We start off with every engineering build being deployed to all users within Windows. As the build stabilizes, we move to a broader Microsoft adoption of the build. Okay. All Microsoft employees self-host these builds and use them in their day-to-day work. As the build stabilizes, we move to a community called the Windows Insiders. Many of you are probably part of this community and help us flight the Windows build and improve the quality of the build as we go along. Once it's gone through a few builds have gone through Windows Insiders and we have a good stable build that we can ship to our customers, we put out what is currently called a current branch. This branch actually ships to all of our consumer customers where they have access to the features and functionality first. This is also an opportunity for our enterprise customers to get early access to a stable build, which they can go flight in their enterprise environment in readiness to deploy what we call a current branch for business. A current branch for business is nothing but a current branch plus a few security updates, but no feature changes in the current branch for business. What this ensures that we are taking a very thoughtful approach of how we're developing Windows and making it available in a predictable manner to customers. What are the different servicing options that are available in Windows as a service? On one side, we have what we call servicing updates, which are no different from what the servicing updates that you get today, which is on a monthly basis. But the most important change in this space is that all servicing updates going forward will be cumulative. That is very key to solving the fragmentation and the quality problem that I talked about in the previous slide. Think about a scenario where you've missed deploying a servicing update, but the next servicing update that you pick up will have all the changes that were in the past update plus new changes, which makes it easier for you to maintain your environment. And it makes it easier for customers to deploy and audit all their servicing updates. Apart from these servicing updates, we have the feature updates. These are more infrequent. They will probably happen two or three times a year. And this is where we put out new features and functionality that will benefit our customers. These feature updates also have very specific support lifecycle. As you saw in the previous slide, a CB branch is valid for 4 months, and a current branch for business is valid for about 8 months. So this is where how we are controlling the updates that we are providing to customers, as well as maintaining quality and predictability. So that's a quick refresher about Windows as a service. Now, how do we, as a partner with you, make you successful in developing and supporting apps in the Windows as a service model? Okay. Let's talk about what currently exists. Right? Microsoft will ship a Windows release, and then app developers and ISVs like you will create an application release that coincides with this Windows release. You will take the time to go test and validate this app and make sure that it is ready to be released to a customer. You will then declare support statements for our enterprise customers so that they feel comfortable that your app will work and is compatible when it is deployed in their environment. Once you declare support, our enterprise customers package the app along with the OS and then deploy it widely in their environment. Okay. But all of this takes time and energy and resources for everyone. Right? And it does not scale in the Windows as a service model where we are releasing two or three releases in a year. So how do we change this? Okay. Think about this model. When you go and take your phone and get an OS update, you don't worry about the underlying apps, and neither should you. The apps should just continue to work seamlessly whenever you get an OS update. But how do we get there? Right. There are two things that you need to do, that we, both of us, we need to do. One, Microsoft has to maintain the compatibility of the underlying OS. And you, as the app developer or the ISV, have to feel comfortable that your app code will continue to work irrespective of when Windows releases happen. Okay. Let me talk about the step one. How do we, as Microsoft, ensure that the underlying OS is compatible? Okay. We've made a lot of strides based on your feedback and our customers' feedback on how to maintain compatibility and not break the app and driver ecosystem. Here's how we do it. The compat team within Windows works very closely with other feature teams to make sure that code removal decisions or design decisions do not impact compatibility in a negative way, which means by the time we ship flights or releases, the code underlying in the OS is mostly compatible. It's all compatible unless you take a kernel dependency. So think about it this way. If you are an app developer who has no kernel dependency, then when the next release of Windows comes out, you will be fully compatible. The other few things that we leverage is we collect a lot of telemetry related to apps from our ecosystem. This telemetry helps us get early insights into issues or app regressions as they happen. It helps us get access to the crash dumps or data that we need to go investigate these issues. Okay. And then the next step we do is we partner with you. We want your help in solving these problems. Where the issue can be resolved by us, we take steps to resolve them. In cases where we need your help, we reach out to you and ask for help in healing the ecosystem. And then lastly, we've started this process of flighting, which is making early builds of Windows available to our select customer base, our early adopters, and these are our early feedback loop. They use the Windows flighted builds in their normal life, use their applications as they normally do, and then that's what helps us get early insights into telemetry. So this is our promise. I want to reiterate this. We're committed to maintaining the compatibility of the underlying OS. But how can we work together to make sure that the app system stays compatible for our customers? Okay. Here's what we're asking for help from you. Okay. So decouple app support from Windows releases. There should not be any reason for you to align your app releases along with our Windows releases. Right. If we ship a compatible OS, your app should just continue to work and we should not cause any breaking changes for our customers. We recommend that you move to a lifecycle type model for support. What this means is when you release a version of the app, you support it for a certain period of time rather than align it with a specific Windows version. For example, even when we ship OSs, we have a life cycle. We will support it for a certain amount of months now. As I mentioned, the current branch is supported for 4 months. Beyond that 4 months, the current branch is not supported, and the new branch will land, and then we expect customers to move to the new branch. We want you to move and adopt to that model of life cycle support. We also want to create a business model where enterprise customers are not waiting for an explicit support statement from you. They should have confidence that their apps will continue to work on every Windows build that is released, and your apps should stay maintained according to your cadence. We understand that you are developing in parallel and making feature-rich releases and updates as necessary. You should be able to release these app updates independent of Windows updates. And we absolutely encourage you to do that and not be bound by our development cycle. And I want to talk about, in the next few minutes, talk about how we can work together to make this ecosystem better for our customers. So here are a few things from a compatibility perspective we have recommended over time that developers not do. Okay. Don't take a hard dependency on the version number of the operating system. Okay. I will talk about each of these points in detail in the subsequent slides. Okay. When you need access to a specific feature for your app, query for that specific feature rather than putting in a conditional statement based on version. The third point is don't use undocumented APIs that we don't publicly publish and make people aware of. And then lastly, we encourage everybody to move to Universal Windows Platform and then Project Centennial, which is moving Win32 apps into the store for their app ecosystem. How do we do these one at a time? Okay. What happens when you take a dependency on the OS version? When an app checks for the OS version number and we change the version number when we make a release, apps may fail, installers may not work, apps may crash or hang and cause a bad experience for our customers. they may generate errors that don't inform users about what is going on or how they can fix the problem. So we recommend that you don't take any dependency on OS version. The way you get around this is you query for the presence of a specific feature in the OS base. Most app developers we've seen are taking version dependency to check for the presence of a certain API set or a feature. Don't take a dependency on the version. Check directly to see if an API set exists or a feature exists in the OS, and then write your code that way. This portion is something I cannot emphasize enough. Please don't take a dependency on any undocumented APIs. We do not document these APIs because we do not want the ecosystem to take a dependency on them. These are APIs that we could change at any point in time, and that could cause a breaking change for you. Please provide feedback to us if you feel that you don't have a workaround or an alternative to taking a dependency on these APIs. We are open to developing something specific for your case. And I will talk in later slides about how you provide feedback. And then lastly, please embrace the universal Windows platform and Project Centennial. If you own a Win32 app, you can absolutely create a Project Centennial app and post it in our Windows Store. That is a great way to reach a billion users in the next couple of years. And putting your app in the store is a great way to ensure that your users are up to date at all times. Whenever an OS update happens, all apps are updated directly from the store right after an OS update happens. The other major reason not to use traditional methods of apps is that Win32 installers are very error prone. They may fail on 64-bit versions, or they may be broken when we make an update to redists. That's another reason for you to adopt Universal Windows apps and Project Centennial. And then this last section talks about your concerns about testing and validation every time we release a Windows version. How do we get around that concern? We encourage you to become a flighting partner with us. Become a Windows Insider. I've talked about a Windows Insider program when I was covering the Windows as a service model. We have more than 5 million Windows Insiders today that get early access to flighting builds. They receive the latest Windows builds, and in your case, you can host your apps on these flighted machines immediately. Exercise the regular app scenarios as you would do in a normal manner on these flighted machines, and that by itself is a validation of your test scenarios. Investigate issues if you find them, and then let us know if you need help fixing those issues. And at the end, declare support for Windows as a service, not for a specific version of Windows. And I'll talk about how to do that. Windows Insider is a very easy community to get access to. It's available for both PCs and phone. And this community contributes to the future of Windows by flighting and giving us early feedback about the flighted builds. You can get easy access to builds. It's almost automated. The next time a flighted build is released, it automatically is downloaded onto your machine, and there is no extra burden of maintaining or deploying OS builds. And you also have access to insider-only events and blogs and forums where you can talk to other flighting insiders and share concerns or share best practices. As I talked about, you will continue to receive the latest builds, and this is what we want you to get in your test environment. Set up your test environment to get the flighted builds early, And then these are the machines on which you are using your app in a normal manner, and that automatically will test your scenarios for you. Validate that your app works. Take it through all the pathways that you expect your customers to take it through. And as also ensure that you're testing any reliance on OS functionality or hardware-specific scenarios. If your app interacts with Bluetooth, printer, USB, make sure that you are validating those scenarios as well. If you find issues, please let us know. As an insider, you have access to the Windows feedback tool. Please be assured that we are looking at the feedback received from each and every user in the insider community. We take the feedback very seriously, and we will act on it. We will contact you because we know you are an insider. We can build a quality experience together if you can help us become an insider. Finally, when you feel confident that your app is at a quality level that you're satisfied with, please go and declare support for Windows as a service. We have a site called Ready for 10 where you can go in and declare support for your app. Please leverage it. It's an opportunity for you to highlight your app with our customers. We're driving our customers to this site to go check to see if they are compatible and if they are supported in an enterprise scenario. So please leverage the Ready for 10 site. We are also thinking about creating an app insights portal where we can provide you insights about the health of your app as it moves through various builds of Windows. This is something that I don't have a lot more detail about, other than this is coming soon in the next few months. So what do we need to do together? Here's our call to action. Become a Windows insider and adopt Flighting. That is your way to get around a time-consuming validation cycle for your apps. List your app on Ready for 10. That is the way to highlight that your app is compatible and is supported on Windows as a service. And then lastly, please embrace Universal Windows Platform and Project Centennial. I have a list of recommended reading in the end. All of these collateral that we've put out pertain to all the topics that I have talked about today. Hopefully, you will take this message seriously and both of us can work together to make Windows as a service successful for us and our customers. Thank you.